No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we see where Haggai prophesies to the people of Jerusalem to rebuild the house of the Lord. They had expected much, but received little because the temple was in ruins. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl begins the book of Haggai on Simply the Bible.
The Jews had returned from Babylon with high hopes. In 536 BC, the Persian emperor, Cyrus, had issued a decree permitting the Jewish exiles to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. About 50,000 of them left the comforts of Babylon under the leadership of Zerubbabel, the newly appointed governor of Judah, and Joshua the high priest. When they arrived in Jerusalem, they cleared the temple court of rubble and placed the altar of burnt offerings on its base. For the first time in 50 years, the daily sacrifices could begin again. By spring of the next year, they laid the foundation of the temple. But that is when the trouble began. The Samaritans, who were a people of mixed races and mixed religions, offered to help in the reconstruction. But the Jews declined, saying that King Cyrus had commissioned them alone to rebuild it. Therefore, the Samaritans and others tried to discourage the people of Judah and troubled them in the building. They pressured the new king of Persia to issue a cease and desist order. The work stopped, and the people gradually turned to their private affairs. They got used to worshiping in the open air among the ruins of the former temple. 15 years passed until God finally raised up the prophet Haggai in 520 BC, who then stirred up the people to complete the building project. We begin Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." The date was August 29th, 520 BC. The prophet Haggai came on the scene. We know nothing about him, but he was the first of three prophets to prophesy after the Babylonian exile. He went to the leaders and repeated what the people of Judah had been saying. The time has not come for the Lord's house to be built. While the people had certainly encountered opposition, they had given up. Rather than continuing to pray and seek new opportunities, they lost their zeal and resigned themselves to believing that it was not the right time to rebuild the temple. When God opens a door for a new work, there is often a honeymoon period of great enthusiasm. It seems that God is opening the doors and blessing the work, but then comes the opposition. People ridicule what we're doing. The giving dries up. We face headwinds that hinder the work. People complain. That is where the people often become discouraged and quit putting forth the effort. In short, they become lazy and quit. But it is always too soon to quit. In the case of the Jews, they could not deny the fact that they had left Babylon with the purpose of rebuilding the house of God. But rather than looking at themselves and their own lack of resolve, they blamed their failure on bad timing. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins?" The problem was that they were saying that it wasn't time to work on God's house while they were busy with their own homes. They began home improvement projects while they left God's house in ruins. They were guilty of misplaced priorities, and that is a common problem among God's people today. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. and he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know, there is a time to stop what we are doing and take personal inventory. I like to do this at the end of each year before heading into the new year. How did I spend the year? What could I do better? But we should examine ourselves more often than that. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." Often God uses unfavorable circumstances to get our attention. Maybe our lives are out of balance, and God's priorities have not been our priorities. We need to make some changes, so God allows some adversity in our lives. Gordon MacDonald said, "There are three things in my life that I need most, but they never scream for immediate attention: God, family, and my mind." Because these things don't scream at us, it is easy for us to neglect them. But these are the most important things for us to maintain. Now, the Jews had been working hard, but the harder they worked, the less they had to show for it. They were sowing much, but harvesting little. They were taking on extra jobs and trying to get ahead, but they were still hungry, thirsty, cold, and unsatisfied. It was as though they were earning their wages and putting them in bags with holes in them. Do you ever feel this way? It seems that you earn more money than before, but your expenses rise faster than your income. Inflation robs us of our purchasing power. We are working harder and resting less, and yet it is even harder to make ends meet. What is the solution? Another government program? Higher taxes? A different administration? Taking on two or three jobs? A better city? New legislation? No. The solution is obedience to God. But that is an unpopular message. We don't want to consider our own ways when it's so much easier to blame others. Verse 8, "Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord." No doubt the people were afraid of what the surrounding people or the king of Persia would do if they started up the work again. But Haggai's instruction was quite simple. Go up to the mountains and cut down wood. When the Babylonians burnt down the temple, the stones were charred but could be reused. The wood, however, had been destroyed. Often revival begins with faithfully doing simple tasks. We can't do God's part, but He won't do our part. Now, if they would do their part, then God would take pleasure in their work and be glorified through His temple. We often look at our service to the Lord as being necessary, but do we consider that it also brings the Lord great pleasure? This last Sunday, I watched as our son Justin played drums and our daughter Allison played keyboard on our worship team. And it so blesses my heart as a parent to just see them giving of themselves to the Lord. And I think that brings God so much pleasure when we simply do what He's told us to do and do it as unto Him. Verse 9, "You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains and the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock and on all the labor of your hands." Their production was not in line with their expectations, but all this was caused by God. He was blowing away their profits because they had forgotten about Him. They were running to their own house, installing their paneling, redecorating, putting in the swimming pool, getting new appliances. Not really. But that is, of course, what we would do. It is sad that the work of the Lord is often sacrificed as we tend to our own wants. Buildings don't get built. Missionaries are underfunded, while we keep improving our own homes. Never mind the fact that we are already richer than most of the world. Now, even as I say this, I realize how much I have spent on myself well, there remains so much to do for the kingdom of God. God had actually called for a drought, and the clouds always obey him. The rain didn't fall, their land didn't produce, and they were now impoverished. It really doesn't make any sense to neglect God when he is the one who supplies everything that we need. We need to remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Now, this is amazing because so many of God's prophets, they gave their prophecies and the people ignored them. But these people obeyed the Lord's voice. You see, they had left the comforts of Babylon. They had gone out to pioneer a new work. They really wanted to rebuild the temple. They just got distracted. And so when Haggai called them back to the task, they obeyed and they feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, "I am with you, says the Lord." So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. Evidently, even before they started working on the temple, God spoke through Haggai saying, "I am with you." God was simply waiting for their hearts to turn toward his will. Then he was there to help and encourage them. If God was for them, then no opposition could stand against them. I love how God stirred up their hearts and they got to work. I really love this because we are in the middle of a building project right now, and I love it when God stirs the people's hearts to give or to work or do whatever, and it's obvious that it's the Lord doing it. Well, they began the work about 3 weeks after Haggai prophesied on September 21st, 520 BC. Thank God for his mercy. He is the God of second chances. And even though the people quit and got distracted and got busy with their own things, God was not done with them. He would complete the good work that he began. He would complete the good work that he sent them to do that they just sort of forgot about. But they had to get back to work. If governors and priests fail, then God will raise up prophets to promote his cause. We may have taken a detour. We may have drifted from God's plans. But his gifts and calling are irrevocable. He is just waiting for us to pick them up and get to work.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We're happy to announce that we're building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow we will see where Haggai prophesies that the glory of the latter temple will exceed the former one. The people had been defiled, but now they would be blessed because of their obedience. We hope you'll join us as we conclude the book of Haggai on Simply the Bible.